Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Sip the Tea. We have Brooklyn, Jasper, Havana, and myself. What's my name again? Fuck. Natty.
What's my motherfucking name?
What's my motherfucking name again?
Natty.
No, N-A-D-I.
Damn it. So, today's episode, we're gonna go a little deep. And as we know, 2020 was a shitty year. Very unexpected for all of us. So we're just going to go around and ask, what did you learn in 2020? I'm going to start off with Brooklyn.
I already have my list ready.
We're going to be put on the spot. You prepared?
Well, no, I put this together in like...
Nerd alert.
Well, no, when you mentioned that it'll be lessons of 2020, I thought, okay, cool, my homework's already done because we put a list together. December. I feel like I shared these already, but maybe not.
Wait, so who did you put together a list with?
Sorry. Well, I guess they're my list, but like I went over them with Babe Boy as well. But they're pretty much my list.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? I feel like you guys would be the couple to do stuff like that. Oh, let's go over my list. And then you take Polaroids.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I did share this. Oh, if I say where I shared it, it might expose me. Yeah, I have a couple lessons. So... I wrote down a job does not define you, which I assume a lot of people were affected and lost their jobs during 2020 and losing their sense of purpose.
True.
I also learned who truly matters to myself, since clearly I kept in touch with people who I actually cared, made an effort to reach out to them. Also, in a way, I learned who I truly matter to as well, because you kind of learn like, okay, this I haven't talked to this person in months, right? But like,
yeah,
not that I hold it against them either, but it kind of makes me realize, you know, how we talk about the tiers of friendship. So it kind of like puts them in that different area.
No, but okay, call up. Can we interrupt in our list
no,
when we're giving
can't.
Our list?
No,
why not?
Absolutely not.
Because I have a question. Because
you cannot
those types of friends. That you don't talk to them all the time. Ooh. But then when you do talk to them,
it's still the same.
It's like, yeah, it's like time never passed. You just pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
That is true. Okay, fine. I agree with that one. Good point.
Because if it was the way that you're saying it, then I wouldn't be friends with either one of you guys. Think about
that. It's true. And like, I also read something on social media a couple of weeks ago, and like it basically said, you're not imagining it. No one wants to talk right now. Messages are brief and replies are late. Talk of catch-ups on Zoom are perpetually put on hold. Group chats are no longer pinging all night long. It's not you, it's everyone. We're spent. We have nothing left to say. We're tired of saying things like, I miss you and I can't wait for this to end. So we mostly say nothing, put our heads down and to get through each day. You're not imagining it. This is the state of being like no other we've ever known, because we're all going through it together, but so very far apart. Hang in there, my friend. When the mood strikes, send out all those messages and don't feel like you have to apologize for being quiet. This is hard and no one is
Aww, damn,
Mike,
that's
drop.
True.
Wow.
That is true.
That was really good.
That is.
Send that to the group.
Let's
snap. Clap. Finger snap.
I can't snap. Fuck.
Okay, continue with your list. But I'm gonna say that we already put a little bit of a star next to
it. No, I like that. Did you memorize that better? You had it ready.
I searched it.
Oh, okay. Humans are gross and inconsiderate. I've always known
oh my
this,
God.
But I think I really learned. I don't know. I have become like a really pessimistic person in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. I have this new saying. It's not new, but I really feel like the last 12 months, I really believe it even more that like, you know, expect the worst, hope for the best. And then I also always have a safety net in terms of like, you know, having money set aside, in terms of who you have in your relationship, you know, having good people around you is always important.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But I also think like that's because like knock on wood, we're in very privileged situations, you know, like not everybody's in a situation like hours where you have like loved ones around you that are there to support you, or and all of that, like a lot, that's not the reality for a lot of people. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true. I understand my own privilege. This is my lesson.
It's not like we're criticizing your list.
Wrong. Lesson of 2021, no longer share your feelings. And then my last note was really just that we are resilient. You know what I mean? Like, we've been going through for the last 12 months has been quite wild. And, you know, we do what we have to do, right? So.
True.
That's me. Awesome.
That was good. That was good.
No other criticisms? Okay. Great. Who else? Jasper, how about you?
Ooh, I didn't prepare,
Miss. Oh, sorry. Should I move on to the next student?
No, teacher, I didn't prepare. No, joking. I'd say for me, if I think about it right now, one of the biggest takeaways of 2020 was I feel like before, the things that I value were a little bit different. Like, I'm less materialistic and more about like relationships and just finding happiness not attached to like kind of what Brooklyn was saying, like a job or, you know, having a lot of stuff, right? I feel like before, you know, I will go out, I'll spend all this money, you know, I'll go shopping and I'll like my clothes and I'll do this and I'll do that. When now I'm like, my 2021 goal was to just like produce less and like not have a lot of crap that just clutters, I feel, my life. And then just focus on more creating memories as opposed to acquiring stuff.
That's nice.
That was my 20, awesome. One of my 2020s. And then the other one was that I try to give humans the benefit of the doubt and like believe that there's good in everybody, but in 2020 there's some really fucked up people out there.
Inconsiderate, right? Right?
Yeah, and like selfish and like just, you know, at the end of the day, a death is a death and nobody wants to see a loved one die.
For
and
sure.
Then they're like, oh well, but that person was old. I'm like, really? Fuck. Yeah. Like, you know, things like that. So now I'm like a little bit more cautious in terms of like just giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, but I'm more of like, I guess more negative in that sense, where I'm like, inherently you're a shit person, you have to prove me that you're good.
Yes, join the dark side with me.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Ooh, I have,
yeah, I would say those are my takeaways.
So you what talked up? About like creating memories. Is there any memory that sticks out for you in 2020? Since of course, like every memory that we've had the last year, like there's no traveling or, you know, seeing people.
Yeah.
So like what memories have you been able to create that are like your fondest?
Ooh, you know, okay, without something cheesy, but that time that Bay Day got together and we were sitting on that bench at the beach and we watched the sunset, that was probably the highlight of 2020. If when I think back, for me, like I thought it was just, it was so nice to just be with friends. And
that's cute.
And we kind of unplugged a little bit and it was just about us. And just reflecting on them. I think that was probably one of my fondest memories of 2020 that I can think of.
I'm smiling now thinking that's about cute. It too. Yeah, because it's nice. Really it was cute. Like a change of scenery. We're together again for like in a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then enjoying the little, like the beauty of nature. Like we just enjoyed a nice sunset. And we were just there and then enjoyed some really nice gummies. Nature.
Love it. True. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Havana.
Well, she doesn't get any snaps.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Snaps. Oh, shit.
Damn.
My bad.
You know what that
sounds
like?
Do you remember those plastic hands that like they clap? The
clappers? Oh, my God. The clappers, yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Sorry. That's what it sounded like.
I think my biggest takeaway in 2020 was that you can't really expect anything out of life, and you just have to take things as they come, because at the end everything will work out. And like, I don't know, it's just for me, before 2020, I think you guys know this, like I was always in fast forward. I was always like on the move. I had to be busy. I had to be doing something, like
for sure.
Even in my downtime, I needed to be doing something. And in 2020, I was forced to stop. And a lot of people were forced to stop.
For sure.
Like you said, Jasper, like enjoying those little things, going out for walks. And it like brought back the joy of like seeing a friend, you know, even if it was like for a social distance walk, or seeing someone over Zoom that you hadn't talked to in a while, or that you're used to seeing every single day, and suddenly that interaction had stopped. I don't know. It was just, it's a reminder of like, life isn't meant to be lived in fast forward, and it's okay to be still, and it's okay to stop and enjoy the moment that is. And that's something I hope that like, when this all goes away, because it will go away and it will end, like I have faith that things will go back to like a semi-normal, that like, that's something I want to remember, of stop and enjoy the moment, and you don't have to rush through life. There was no reason I was walking, you know, a 30-minute distance in 20 minutes or less, or 15 minutes or less downtown to get to my destination, you know, like
I remember trying to keep up with you. It was hard.
Yo, man, you gotta prop up the elbow.
I'm not even kidding. The walk from Union Station to King and Spadina is what, 20 minutes?
Maybe 15.
15. Yeah. I was doing it in like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
You are a super power walker. No way. Union to and King. Spadina. King and. Oh, yeah. That is a long walk. Yeah.
I was like, gotta start my day. Gotta get to work. Gotta plug.
Damn. Got those steps in.
And then the worst part is like in the winter when you're like, you know, you're wearing your winter jacket and you're doing that in the path and it's like indoors and you're sweating.
There is
and you
no come path out and you're like in Spadina.
In the cold. No, I know, but you're doing like the path at the beginning, right? And then you exit the path and then you're like, all the sweat is now like condensed.
Ugh, you just feel it. Oh man.
I think I like that. We've taken more walks during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And and the other thing too, that now I'm taking the spotlight again. Okay. But the other thing that I liked about 2020 is that I got to know my neighbors more.
That's cute. So prior to COVID, did you talk to them at all, or did you know their names?
No, I actually didn't like
them. Oh, shit. So what changed?
Because we were home more on weekends, and like weekends we were really never home. We were always not like going back to visit family or doing stuff or just out. So we weren't in the backyard, let's say. And then and they were always in the backyard, and then that's how we started talking more. And then I would go over in the afternoons and like just sit at the patio with
that's
them.
That's cute.
And they're like older, so
is this
getting to know, like it's those little moments.
Is this the one where your dog goes dog sitting? Oh, okay. Yeah, cute.
Yeah, he goes to visit them every day.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I'm a little therapy dog. Yeah, so.
Cute.
And I think that's all like part of like 2020 vibe, that like you enjoy the little moments. And like going for a walk is no longer like, you know, it's an activity. It's not a means to get to a destination.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah. Like a couple of weekends ago, when it was so nice outside, like it was nice to just walk at my own pace, not feeling rushed to get home because there's nothing to do. Like my walk is my highlight of the day. Yeah.
Thank you.
Snaps to Havana.
Yeah.
Snaps.
All right, Natty, what's
yours? Well, I have three. Mine can be similar to what Havana said, more of like stepping back and reflecting. Because like, I find that, yes, during, you know, past years and stuff, we're always on the go. we're always on autopilot, basically. Another one is being vulnerable isn't a weakness. Another, it's okay to not to be okay, and it's okay to ask for help. And I find that was, like, very hard for me because I'm such a person where I want to help everyone to the point, like, I find that my feelings were not validated or, like, it's not important to the point when it was the whole corona, COVID, and we were forced to be by ourselves, stuck in quarantine. It's like, fuck, all these emotions are running high. All these thoughts are coming. But it's just like you have to face it kind of thing, right? And there is one thing that like someone told me that like really got me, you know what I mean? Because I got into a deep hole. Don't get me wrong. I got in deep hole like from summertime to say like December. And then to the point like, I'm not going to lie, like I had dark thoughts. I was very negative to the point like you know when you just don't, like you didn't feel yourself? Mm-hmm. To the point like... Yeah. Someone told me, they're like, you know what, first things first, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, you are the observer of those things. And usually
Ooh, I like that.
And I was like, holy fuck, so, like that really resonated with me because it's true, right? Because we always, you know what I mean, right when we hear these thoughts and stuff, because our mind is so strong to the point it's like it's hard to like step away from it and be like, holy fuck, like, let me take a second. And then it's like, we don't see things how they are. We see things how we are. You know what I mean? So I think it was one of those things I just had to step back and just really self-reflect a lot, which helped this past year and just like going through a lot of stuff. And basically it's the whole process, I find. That's where I see it.
I like that. Can you see that quote one more time?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Which one? Oh, the emotions one?
Yeah.
You're not your thoughts.
You're not your emotions. You are the observer of those things.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like acknowledging your thoughts, but knowing that may not necessarily be like the reality as well, right? Because your thoughts, your mind is so powerful that you can think about so many things. Your mind can go in a dark spot.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
It's crazy. And then, like, just what, to, like, when was it? When we were at that beach or whatever, I remember it so distinctly because I remember Havana, she was asking us a question. And, like, to this day, it, like, still things in my head. Because I remember Havana was like, what did you guys learn? Or, like, what did you learn this year? And I was like, holy fuck. And at that point, like, point, I kid you not, like, it was so hard for me to say something. Because I didn't want to bawl in front of you. And then in my head, I'm like, when I think about it now, I'm like, why the fuck was I so scared to be so, like, you know what I mean? To show you how I really felt.
Vulnerable.
Because I always had that feeling like I don't want to show that to people, even if it's people I care and, like, you know, they know me. And then afterwards, when she asked me, I was like, holy fuck, it's happening. No, no, no. Stop it. But yeah, that's what I've been going with.
And do you feel like since, I know it's been only been a couple months since 2020, but do you feel like you've been opening up some more, that you're more comfortable asking for help?
I think it's one of those things, it's like a process thing, but slowly and surely it's happening, because like right now I'm going through therapy and all this other bullshit, which has been helping, but I guess it's one of those things that it's a work in progress, because I find for me I have this thing where, like, when I find it, too, when I'm, like, ranting to you guys on our chat, like, I always have to apologize. I'm like, why am I apologizing for talking to them? Because I know they're there for me all the time, but it's just one of those things that just I need to stop. Or
yeah, like, not feeling bad, too. Like, everyone's entitled to their feelings, and, of course, we're here for you, so
I think it's
no need to apologize.
We're made to feel like venting and sharing your feelings and woes, if you will, are whining, or you're being negative.
There you go.
You know, so a lot of the time when you want to get something off your chest and somebody comes in and like, well, you know, and I just did it to you.
Like quit your whining.
Yeah. Like I just did it to you, Brooklyn, where I was like, well, while other people are in such worse situations, I hate that I say that. Because that's not helpful, you know, like we're all going through things so differently. So
when someone,
I'm aware, like I'm a big whiner. I will be the first one to say that. But for me, it's like when I say things out loud, it's to get it off my chest, because once it's off my chest, it's not weighing on me anymore. And it won't allow me to overthink about it because I've now like pushed it out of me. But when someone comes in and like suppresses it and is like, well, think about like this person that's in this situation, I'm aware, you know, like, yes, thank you for reminding me that I'm in a very like great and privileged situation, but I'm aware of it. And I just want to like push this out. You know, if I'm like complaining about being the only girl on my team and like feeling like I'm being talked down to, I know that I'm lucky to have a job right now, you know? And it's just, I think it's that notion of like, whenever we share our feelings, we feel like we're being negative.
Yeah.
So we feel like someone's going to shut us down. So we have to apologize for it, but you don't have to apologize for it. Like that's
what
your support system is there for.
I think one a key piece too is that at the end of the day, you feel how you feel.
Yeah.
And you have to acknowledge that feeling, right? So even if my feelings and my emotions are based on something that is wrong and it's illogical, I'm still feeling them.
Yeah.
So when I'm sharing to somebody and I'm opening, you know, for them to be dismissed, that is, it's hard because you're feeling them. It's not like you're making them up, right?
Yeah.
Like one thing that I didn't understand too much until I went through grief was whenever people tell you, you know, you express something negative, like, oh, don't worry, you'll get better.
Yeah.
I know it will get better.
Yeah.
I know, but this is what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
And I just need to, like, I need you to acknowledge that this is a feeling. And don't try and put something positive, like, because then you don't have the time to recognize those feelings and how powerful they can be, because you're just saying, like, oh, like, it's going to get better, don't worry. So you don't take the time to actually feel those emotions. Whether or not they're like, illogical or not, right? If I feel like, you know, the world is out to get me right now and like, life is unfair and all this stuff, let me feel them, acknowledge them, and, you know, like, help me get to them when I'm ready.
But yeah.
I feel like it's just, like, the acknowledging of those feelings. It's very important.
I heard recently something called toxic positivity.
Yeah.
And, like, I realized, I'm guilty of it. So I'm just reading an article now. So it's basically, like, you know, taking someone's emotional pain or difficult situation and thinking that they have to have a positive mindset. So, you know, like when you tell someone, oh, look on the bright side, or everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like, at least this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. Yeah.
Well, thank God. Yeah. And like, because of this happening, it's almost as if like you have to be okay with everything, that like having like sad thoughts or going through bad situations and having those emotions are bad things. Like, of course it's shitty.
Yeah.
But like, you need to feel those things. And it's okay.
Yeah. Or like, how many times even like little things, like, you know, before when you're like nervous for a presentation or something that you're doing that you're not comfortable doing, how many times do people be like, don't worry, you'll be great.
Yeah.
Right. And you're sitting there like, did that help me?
And you're what like, if bitch, I'm not great? That's I'm making legit. Me more nervous.
Yeah.
It does. Because
now you're expecting me to be great, but I'm feeling like I'm going to be shit.
So we should just be honest now. Hey, I don't know how you're gonna do, but we'll see.
No,
but like you can say like you've prepared yourself, like you'll do the best that you can do. Yeah. Like everything is gonna,
I like that.
You know,
like, there you go.
You've prepared, you've put all of the preparation together that you can. And
Brooklyn, we'll see. We'll see how you go.
Like, sounds like a personal problem.
Oh my God.
No, you could say something like, oh, you know, acknowledge that it's a, you know, some people are not comfortable with public speaking. So it could be like a big task, right? And like, I feel like that's something that I learned a lot when I like started taking on a lot of students and being a preceptor, is that like for me, presenting and doing acting becomes second nature. But for some people, it's not. It's a big deal still. So I can just say like, you know, it takes practice to be better, and like, you know, like you've prepared and you'll do the best you can. Just You know, like, be more encouraging and not disrespect. Because you have to acknowledge the feelings that it's this shitty, man. What if, like, something happens and they could bomb it? Like, there's a big possibility that they're going to bomb it. But,
or so, I'd say, I'll still be here to cheer you on.
Note to self, do not go to Brooklyn for any positivity of any kind.
Brooklyn, yeah. Just look at us and smile.
Yeah,
and nod your head.
Yep, I like that's that. All. I like that.
Just do that.
This reminds me with my mom. Like, sometimes she would vent to me, and I always try to think of something positive or something to make her feel better. And she'd always tell me, oh, just stop. Like, I just need to vent. Yeah. That's why, yeah. I think a couple months ago, to you, Jasper, no, to you, Havana, I said, oh, choose your own adventure. Do you want my advice? Or do you want me? Or do you want to actually vent?
Honestly, was the most
How did you feel?
I felt so annoyed. I felt so annoyed because, real talk, when you're going to a friend and you just need them to be there, I don't want to fucking play your game, man.
Well, because I was trying to understand, do you want to vent and I'm just here to listen, or do you want my actual advice? Because I can go either way, you know? Either way.
Oh my God.
Slap you. I'm going to slap you when it's socially safe to do so.
Well, won't be until 2022, so you're gonna forget by then.
You live across the street. She's like, I'll find ya.
I'm a run.
Oh man.
Oh, snap to.
Oh yeah, that was good.
To you, Natty.
Snap. I thought.
Thanks.
So, like, maybe we'll do a side question of the day in terms of like 2021, like your outlook for 2021.
So I can
start with mine. I don't feel like 2021 is going to be any different, so.
Yeah, go for it. It's true. No, it's true.
I'm in the pity party. Yeah, right. I feel like there was such a hype, I guess, because I think as humans we always have to have something to kind of look forward to, and like 2021 was just so shitty. And like the year, even without COVID, it started like shit, man. Like there was the world was burning, and then like COVID hit. So I feel like for us, 2021 was this idealistic, like at December 31st, like things were gonna get better because it was a new year. We were entering 2021.
Yeah.
But I'm like, are we really? Like, I guess the elections got Trump off the ballot, but like,
hey man.
I don't know.
I'm glad
he's
off the ballot, but this Biden guy is not really doing shit so far. So just throw that out.
We won't turn this one political, but I just don't feel like 2021 is it's all that. I feel like because I'm turning this pessimistic a time in my life, and I'm embracing that emotion that I'm feeling, and I'm observing it. I'm observing that emotion.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want to set big expectations for 2021. True. Because I just know that it's not going to live up to that hype.
And I'm with you on that.
I rather 100%. Just take the day at a time. Like, I'm looking at, like, the way that I'm viewing things now is that I don't look forward to things anymore. I just kind of, like, I make sure that the day that I live in the now, like, it's as good as I can make it.
True. I like that.
I don't go like, oh, I wish it's the weekend. Nah. No, like, it's Tuesday. I'm not going to waste my entire week,
bro,
hoping that it's the weekend.
Weekends don't matter anymore. You know what?
Yeah. I'm like, today is today, and I'm going to make today good. And I'm just going to get as much out of today as possible. And I'm not going to be like, no, 2021 is going to be like this. I'm gonna be like, no, Tuesday, it's going to be like this. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, it's going to be like this. And then I'm going to take day by day.
I feel like, you know what? That's a lesson of 2020, I think, like, as it sounds so bad when the way I want to say it, but I don't want to come across as like, have no expectations and have no hopes and dreams, but it's really just that, like, living day by day. So I think I'm really looking forward to this year. I know we're at the beginning of March, but like, take it as it comes. My only hopes for this year is like, I hope the weather's as nice as it was last summer so we can enjoy the outdoors just as we did, you know? Like, I hope that we're able to, you know, go for like our walks and see people in that way. If
if we can't do it on our normal basis. But that's what I'm looking forward to. Like, those are my hopes of, I hope we have nice weather like we did last year. I hope, you know, things get better across the board for everybody. Like,
everybody.
I don't really have expectations. And I think even going forward for the future years, like, I don't think I'm going to look at a year the same ever again to be like, oh, man, this is my year. I'm going to travel the world and I'm going to get promoted. And I'm fuck that. Whatever happens, happens. Like, I've just fuck out.
No, it's so true. I have like that mindset too. It's more of like, be present in the now and don't worry about the future. Cause at this point we're just like, fuck it. If we're going to die tomorrow, I'll be happy. Like, I'll be happy with how I live my life and I'm good to go.
Like that. Yeah. Cause I've been thinking too that, you know, when I die, I want to be able to have a life filled with like no regrets as much as possible. And when I think about, like, okay, what would be considered a regret? A regret for me would be not spending enough time with my family, connecting with my friends, which is what I've been doing, right? So I've been still being connected with those that I love. So I feel like we're all doing the best that we can now, living our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like 2020 has taught us that, you know, anything can happen. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Wow, sounds like a cliffhanger for a movie.
Yeah.
I know. Damn. Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Now I got me thinking, like, what if I were to die tomorrow, would I have any regrets? Like, my thoughts just went super dark. I'm like, would I?
Wow. Did anything come to your mind?
I can't think of anything. Oh, climbing Mount Fuji in Japan.
Like those regrets, right? Because those are things that are not in your control right now.
Okay. Like more like things in your control.
Like, I think that's terms of like our mental health. For now, we have to think, what's something in your control that you can't, right? Okay, because everyone has those, like, Oh, sorry, wait, you're observing your emotions. Sorry, I agree. Yes.
Okay. I know what my regret would have been. My regret would have been spending so much time away, like living away from my family. I better not die tomorrow, because I'll be
I felt that one
damn.
Hey, and I've been telling you to move back, so my hands are clean.
I know
Okay, there.
I like how I make it all about me all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think that would be my regret would be that, and not having called my grandma as much as I could have during the pandemic.
When was the last time you called your grandma?
Actually, okay, right before this call.
Aww.
But how often would you want to call her to feel, yes, I called my grandma enough times?
I don't know. I feel like I could. I think because of the invention of text messaging and all this stuff, like, I text my mom more than I call her. So I feel like you don't never set a specific time to connect with somebody, because you're like stealing little pockets of time throughout the day to text them and engage in that conversation. But it's all transient, right? Because you like read the message and my mom's like, I don't know, say talking about like, what's the soup that you made last time, and I'd be like, oh, it's like lentil and curry.
Yeah.
And then I end the conversation and then I go back to whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like these little pockets of time that you're stealing, but I never intentionally sat down to talk to my mom about this lentil curry soup.
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
Like, pockets of time, because like it's just a moment checking in and that's out. It's not like long period of time of actually talking about
in
it.
In and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an in and out. And sometimes you're doing it as you're doing something else. It's so true. Like, did you intentionally have that conversation? I feel like it's about having like intentional conversations.
That's true.
So because of that, I don't call my mom as often as I feel like somebody in the past that has a good relationship with their parents would have. Like, I feel like so many times, like even when I talk to like the older women at work, they're like, oh yeah, I call my mom once a day. Like, we call every day. I talk to her every day. And I'm like, I talk to my mom every day through text.
Yeah.
you know, LOLs yeah. and what are you doing? And then with my grandma, it's kind of like, not, I don't do that, but I'm not in the habit of like,
yeah,
calling people. So I actually, it's like, I have to plan it ahead and like, okay, well, at this time is when I'm going to call you. And
because we're so used to texting and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Because I find, okay, this sounds so lame, but my dad, every morning, he would always text me just to say good morning, have a great day and stuff, right? And like, I was so used to that, like every single day, ever since like I had a phone. Good morning, have a great day, God bless, or like some shit like that, right? And I swear, that sounds so, I need to stop doing that. I always go, God, I can't put God and shit in the same sentence. But anyways,
of all people, you should know that, Nadi. Come on.
I know. Whatever. So he always does that. And I think, when was it? Last week or something. He didn't text me. Like, give me my morning text. And I was like, bro, like, what did I do something wrong?
You pissed him off. How are you supposed to start?
And I was like,
day?
What did I do? Like, and I just felt empty. I'm like, oh my gosh, my text from my dad. So I texted him. And I was like, hey, is everything okay? Like, did I do something? And he's like, oh no, sorry, I was busy at work. And after he's like, oh, you missed my text. I'm like, I actually did, bro. Aww. I actually did.
Aww.
Yeah, it was one of those.
That's sweet.
Imagine he had it on schedule.
I know.
He just queues them
up. At this time.
Automatic text. And then he was at work and didn't have reception. So he didn't get the text.
Fuck.
So when you text him, he's like, what text? What are you talking
about?
It's like,
what are you talking about, woman? You crazy.
You have no clue. It's like an automatic reply.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
Yeah.
That's
Wait, hold cute. On, Jasper. For you, now knowing that, do you feel like you're going to call your mom?
I do get in the habit. I've tried to, like, I, for example, like when I take my dog out for a walk, I've gotten the habit of like trying to call somebody. So like, at least I spend that time talking to somebody as opposed to like listening to music whatever. So I did call, sometimes I call my mom more, most often I call my mom. Sometimes I call like a friend if I had to like tell them something or if I didn't answer the text. So I'm trying not to rely so much on texting, and on weekends I try and disconnect from my phone. So like I won't check my messages, and if I actually need to like get a hold of somebody, then I'll call them.
And then they'll pick up thinking, okay, oh my God, okay, she's calling me. Did something wrong happen? No one calls anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one does.
I know. But then now I'm thinking about like the thing that Havana said when we're like, people don't want to talk. We're all talked out. I'm like, shit.
Fuck.
Here I am trying to talk.
No,
more.
You know what?
Talk to me.
I think the most forms of communication now has been texting, video calls, and then a phone call. Yes. Right? So I think a phone call is actually okay. It's actually would be refreshing.
I've been calling people more than texting.
Have you?
I text mostly in like the group chats that I'm in.
Yeah.
I've been like FaceTiming with friends or family a lot more than calling. Mm-hmm. Like I think even just like calling my dad, like I'll call him like once a day or once every other day, like a regular phone call instead of messaging or even with like family and stuff.
That's nice.
Kind of like you said, Jasper, just use my time intentionally.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good, that, yeah, like you have to, yeah, it's that intent, like you, it's doing it with that intent.
True.
Because I feel like we're always on the go and we're doing like, I'm texting somebody, but I'm thinking about
yes.
them, or I'm like talking to somebody, but I'm texting somebody or I'm like doing this and I'm thinking of like what I'm supposed to be doing tomorrow. And like, you're never, I feel like I'm like 2020, maybe that's what taught me a little bit more. It's just like be in the now and not be thinking of just like, okay, I need to like, you know, bringing another thought into whatever's happening. So if I'm doing something, I'm intentionally doing it. Like if I'm eating, I'm intentionally eating. I'm trying to also not eat in front of screens.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if I'm eating, I'm just sitting there and I'm enjoying my. I don't know. Maybe I'm turning a little bit more hippie.
I like that. No, that's good. You know, you're actually enjoying what you're eating. You're not rushing it through. You're actually enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mindfulness. Yeah. Be mindful.
Yeah. Mindfulness.
So I heard we have a continuation story from our Am I the asshole?
Recap. That's the only reason Brooklyn has been asking for
it. Oh my gosh.
She's like, yo, I need a part two.
You need to fill in our listeners, like give cold notes.
Okay, so let's do the introduction of the Am I the Asshole. That's you, Brooklyn. And
then... So now we move into our new segment called Am I the Sorry. So
it's
now
we new. It was new in like the second episode.
Sorry. So now we move into our next segment called Am I the Asshole? Pew, pew, pew. And a few weeks ago, yes, Jasper was Wilson.
So a few weeks ago, yeah. For everybody that didn't tune into our last episode, so we talked about a friend, one of my friends, who had been in a relationship with this guy, and then so my friend was girl number one, and then apparently there were two other girls that the guy was sort of, I think, involved with. So the number two reached out to number one, my friend, and was like, yo, like, he did the same thing to me, he was cheating on me with number three, blah 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 blah. So we left off on the fact that my friend never replied to that chick. So then 3 weeks later, after I found out that story, my friend messaged me. She's like, yo,
And so I heard my story.
No, she would kill me. She would kill me. No. So she was talking to a friend who went to university with girl number two.
Small ass world.
So girl number, yeah. So girl number two decided to pour her heart out to this chick that she went to university with, who just so happened to be also really good friends with
Facebook, and was all like, okay, who are my mutual friends? Okay, here's my target. Let's talk to this chick.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yo,
let me get that Christmas. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, bro.
So what happened was, girl number two, how she found out was that girl number three all worked in the same company that and the guy also worked.
Is this in, like, in the same town or something?
Yeah, in the same city. But I guess the company is really, really big. It's probably, it's like saying, like, Bell. Like it was a some sort of, like,
I would like a communications company to be a company.
So it's a big company.
Story, please. Like a flow chart, a mind map. You know, we just have to follow girl number two and three and four and seven and eight.
There might be more. Yeah.
And they're all connected.
No, so there, there's only, so girl number two and three worked at the same company as the guy, and then girl number two was like minding her own business, and then one day somebody sends her an email from this other person used company email and sends her a picture of her man with girl number three girl number three baby show.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. This story's the best. Wow. And then continue.
So then, girl number three.
No, I literally like stood up.
My mouth dropped. My jaw dropped.
People drama.
Ooh, love it, guys.
So girl number three was pregnant. The kid was already, at that point, was 8 months or 9 months old, the baby. So the baby had already been born. And get
the baby shower when the baby was already 8 months old. Like, this person sent it 8 months later.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess somebody, this other person, this other third party person that the company found out that this man was doing that with two girls in the company.
Gosh.
So then decided to tell girl number two, hey, FYI,
the hero of the story. Okay.
So initially, but initially she was like, what the hell? Like, that's so weird. Like, because it didn't even, like, the picture was just like the man holding girl belly. Number three, like posing, and then girl number three was had a belly and it said happy baby shower. But she was like, initially she was like, oh, he went to a baby shower.
What,
like,
what the is fuck?
But
are you dumb?
But then like found the girl, like the name of the girl on Facebook, and then apparently like there were other pictures of him. And then his mom.
So
and
wait,
then
this was other girl number like, three like, really girl number one his... all along?
Ooh, for them to know each other's families. Mm.
No. She came after. It was that.
No, but like, did girl number two not meet his family?
Girl number two, she did. Oh yeah, that's the other messed up part of the story. So girl number two thought that the man lived at his parents' house. God. So for the first year, she was going to over to his parents' house, and like both the families will always have like lunch. They were all like really connected, both families. And then after the first year, like things like he was like always hanging out at her house, girl number mm-hmm. two's house, and it would always having excuses why they couldn't go to his house. The reason was because man moved
with the
in
girl
with baby mama number three. So he was living at the girl number three's house because he was having a baby while
what a scum
girl number
what a
two.
Scum
right. So then last Christmas, so this past December, girl number two was like, oh, we're gonna have Christmas at my parents' house, like bring your family over. And then he's like, oh, I'll let you know, whatever. Christmas Day or like Christmas mm-hmm. Eve comes, and then he's like, oh, I have like really bad diarrhea, I can't come out. And then like, we won't do anything, my family, we're just gonna stay here, like don't worry. And then so girl number two was like, oh, I feel so bad, let me send you a Christmas dinner to your house. So like buys this like ridiculously expensive meal, sends it to girl number two and to the boy's house, to the guy's house. And then it's texting, you're like, oh, like come out, I'm here at the dinner. And he's like, oh, I'm in the bathroom, like having diarrhea, so just give it to my sister. So like the whole family knew what he was doing.
His family are bitches too.
Comes out. His sister comes out, takes the food, and he's like, oh, she's like, oh yeah, thank you for the food.
That's
so then
bad.
Like the girl number two, like it's like, oh, how's the food? And he's like, delicious.
Wow.
Bitch,
wow.
I didn't even have any of the food. So then he's like, oh, send me a picture of your family with the food and like whatever. And then so like somebody sends her, he sends her a picture, but
he's,
like,
the one
he's not
the
in the picture,
picture
obviously. And then the sister's not in the picture. No, the sister's taking
the
picture. There were two people that were missing. But she was like, she didn't think too much about it, right? Like, she's getting the picture and she's like, oh, the food looks good, your mom looks good. And he's like, yeah, everybody looks good.
How long were they together for?
What?
Right.
Whoa.
5 years.
That's bad. One, he's a scumbag. Two, the family's a scumbag. Three, this really tells you people are a reflection of their family, and their family is a fucking family of scumbags. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And but the icing on the cake is the man got fired from his job.
Did girl number two break up with him?
Oh no. The best part. Girl number three. So girl number two is on this like hashtag like women empowerment, blah, blah, blah. So that's why she reached out to girl number one, my friend. But then like girl number one was like, nah, boo, like I'm over it. You fight your own battle. So then girl number two was like, yo, I'm gonna rescue girl number three, because apparently like what she didn't really know about girl number one, like the way when she brought it up to the guy when like at the beginning of the relationship, he was like, oh, block girl number one, she's an ex and she's like a little bit crazy and like she's like a stalker, so just block her.
Wow.
So anyways, girl number two is like, yo, I'm going to rescue girl number three. And then so she messaged her, is like, yo, I'm like, you're dating my man. Like, we're dating. And we've been dating, and like sent her all these pictures of evidence and dates and all this stuff. And then girl number three goes and she like blocked girl number two and then changed her picture.
Them?
Of, like, and then like her profile of them like posting. Like, wow. With the baby, like it was with her and her big belly, like being like, this is my baby daddy.
I can't wait for girl number three to meet girl number four in a couple of years.
Right. Oh, apparently there was almost a girl number four, but then she found out about it, and she was also from the same company.
Oh my god!
So the man's like lurking around.
Workplace or romance?
This is like a movie
for a reason.
Yeah,
it's similar to that movie, you know, the one with Cameron Diaz or something, and then I think it's called Other Woman or something like that. Yeah, it's like that. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, with
that. Wait, but no, dude, because no one's getting revenge on this guy. He just keeps winning.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And he's dating girl number three right now, but he's unemployed. So.
This guy.
At least, what?
Oh, I don't have words right
Can
now.
Can you imagine being...
And, like, the worst... The parents, his parents... had lunch, or like his family had lunch maybe like 2 weeks at like girl number two's parents' house, like 2 weeks before this whole thing exploded.
That's
horrible.
And these are people that's like horrible, our age, right? Like around.
That's horrible.
Yeah, girl number three is a little bit younger, but girl number two is our
age. That's horrible.
Imagine 5 years of your life wasted on a guy that, like...
That's so bad.
Like, wasn't even living in the house that he was telling you he was living at. Like, that's how bad. Messed up is that? And, like, she would drive him home. So, like, she would drop him off at, like, his parents' house. And then, what, he would just Uber?
Wait, why is home? She driving Oh, my man? Gosh.
Going back to this.
Oh. Get 2021, but why is she driving this man?
It's horrible.
But yeah, so that was the update.
So it looks like it goes in this pattern. Girlfriend one, your friend, is not an asshole. Girlfriend two was not an asshole, but then became the asshole when girlfriend one came clean to girlfriend two. And then she became all of a sudden not an asshole. And then girlfriend three was innocent and then became the asshole when she blocked girlfriend two. It's just this pattern.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But I think the biggest asshole is.
That was shit.
And the worst part, I met him and he's not good looking. Like, what I don't is understand. It then?
His dick? Like, what the fuck?
He must have a magic penis.
Like a golden one. What the heck?
On the 1 to 10 scale.
That's crazy.
Is he like what would you rate him?
Like a three, four on a good day. Four on a sunny day.
Sunny day.
Okay, so that gets me thinking. You know all these like romantic comedies, and like usually, which ones are like? I'm thinking of like The Wedding Planner. Wasn't. In the movie,
I just watched J-Lo. It recently. Oh, so yes, I can lay in here.
Did he?
Matthew McConaughey's character was an asshole.
After watching again 20 years later, oh no.
What? You didn't know he was the asshole?
No, I didn't think anyone was an asshole.
Oh god, no.
But like, so my point is that a lot of these movies, the couple, like, either the man or the girl.
Yeah. Also, he's just not that into you, which I also recently watched
for the with cheating. Bradley
Cooper. He's Sorry, just not again? That into you with Bradley Cooper and then Scarlett Johansson, the typical.
Silver screen hoe,
if you will. She knows that he's married, and she basically says, "Well, I don't have a problem with it. If you don't have a problem with it." Okay.
Home wrecker.
Bitch.
No, but my point is that in a lot of these like movies where we're sold this like romantic like story, it's based on somebody cheating or somebody getting in between, but we're rooting for that. I don't know. I always find that like whenever I watch it with Babe Boy, like if I watch something with Babe Boy, he gets so upset. He's like, "What do you mean? Like, they're like that's his bride or that's his girlfriend. Like, why is he doing that?" I'm like, "But bitch is crazy, so she has to be with the other one. Like, obviously he's not meant to be with her. He's meant to be with the non-crazy." And he gets so upset. He's like, no, like he is with that girl. Like, why is the other one?
Like, I'm even thinking of like point. Mean Girls, for example.
Aaron, what is his name?
Samuel.
Aaron. Right? Samuel? Like, he was always with Regina. Samuel. Like, still, the chick wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're rooting for them to break up.
That's true. Like,
he technically wasn't with Regina George when he liked him. I just like to point that out. It wasn't until Regina kissed him at the Halloween party, knowing that Katie liked him first.
True.
Thank you for the clarification.
Like in Jane the Virgin. Wasn't she with Michael when he got
Raphael
was the other Raphael.
Yo, I like Raphael though.
Petra, and then they got together.
We're all rooting for
rooting for them to be together. But that means they both cheat on their or I don't know if they were cheating, but they were like in a relationship. Or they were like, you know, they broke up shortly Super after. Short, but like,
I love that show.
I love it.
I'm watching that too. I love it.
Season, and we're clearly all rooting for Jonah and
I don't like Jonah.
And
my favorite character is Cheyenne.
Exactly.
Oh, my favorite. I love Mateo and Garrett.
Oh, I love Cheyenne.
Mateo and then Dina's pretty fun.
Garrett's jealous.
They were saying they were gonna make a spinoff.
Wait, is it over?
Almost. Oh,
okay. No. Is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's no more seasons. There was only like one more season, my favorite. I think, that was released like last year, but then that's it.
Cheyenne and then like Sandra and then Bo.
Bo's hilarious.
I love Bo. When he's like, pyom, pyom, pyom.
That's right, Mikey.
Anyways, that's my assessment on romantic comedies. Like, here when we're talking about it, maybe in the romantic comedy.
Someone's at the front door.
Someone's on my front door. What a fucking creep, bro. Oh, that was scary, y'all.
Now we're going to be looking at romantic comedies in a whole new way and thinking, they all lies? All the ones I've loved.
Watch it. They're all based on like somebody breaking up like a relationship or cheating.
I'm trying to think
Monster
of one
Law.
There was no cheating in that one. Although the mean girl wanted the boyfriend or the fiance.
Because the movie is about a mother-in-law. Why would...
That's true, yeah. It's not really a... Damn it. Okay, hold on.
Oh, The Proposal. Wasn't Ryan Reynolds
with
character,
someone?
With...
What?
No, he wasn't.
With Sandra Bullock?
Yes, he was.
No, that was the premise. Well, she needed her green to be card, married. So they were going to get married.
No. But he had a girlfriend or somebody that he had like some sort of engagement with back in his homeland of Alaska. Remember.
If you remember,
I need to watch that again.
Honestly,
no, I don't want to ruin things. Let me be my bubble.
With a new perspective. You're welcome.
This girl always trying to live in her like oblivious world.
Because you know what? If it was a romantic comedy,
let me stay in it. Okay.
We're not allowed to talk about grown-up topics.
Yeah.
We're not allowed
to talk about anything. Girl number three. Like, we would all be rooting for girl number three, and girl number three had a baby and everything. You know, we will be like, aw. And then they ended up together with a baby. So girl number three. They were always meant to be together. Girl number two was psycho.
Yeah, let's try to flip the story where we are rooting for girl number three.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they were compatible. Way. You know? And maybe yeah, girl number and, like, two was just crazy.
Every time we tried to break up with her, she just, like, you know, threw some food in his face or something, you know? Like, it just, yeah, it, like, she just made it hard for him.
She just sent food to his family.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to break up, like, with someone around the holidays?
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe, like, girl number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. Anyways, that was the end of the story.
Cool.
Well, thanks for joining with us. See you next time. Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
Peace. Peace. Bye.